Emma, it was a testimony from the people who were anti them. Take an example, for example, the events of Karbala. There are numerous sources of books and history that tells us about Karbala and what happened during that time. The people who were in Yazid's army observed this group of people that were with Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. They were stunned by their resilience for the love of Al-Haq. And they were amazed by their consistency with loyalty to Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And this wonderful occasion, although it's a tragic occasion, and although that it has a lot of tragic element in it, but it has many wonderful meanings that will give this occasion its immortality.
Sir,
we cry when we hear the tragedy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But this crying is derived from our love and compassion to his character. And then this love derives from our love and compassion to his followers because of their loyalty and sincerity to him. If we have to define by definition the word sacrifice, you study the case of Al-Husayn's companions, men and women. If you want to know what purity, loyalty, sincerity, sacrifice, the dissolving of the I and me into the we and us, we talked about it yesterday, you observe and you study the short life of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. If you want to know the distinguished characteristics of at-taqwa, piety, from a man when he sits to eat, when he walks in the street, when he talks to the people, when he addressed the friends and the enemy, observe the life of Al-Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. If you want to take an important lesson how to face calamities, difficulties, tragedies, pressure, enormous pressure, pain, problems you would think like mountains are combining itself and facing you, observe the life of Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi
salam.
If you are seeking for prosperity, if you are seeking consistently and consistent effort to succeed in what you want to do, in any good, wonderful goals you are setting to yourself, and in achieving the objectives that Allah set for you, whether you are a man or a woman or a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or a teacher or a lawyer or a student or a judge or a worker, observe because the consistency of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If all the prophets and if all al-anbiya, they come and be with us here in this room now, you see and you observe one line of thought, one clear, vivid truth. They don't argue. They do not fight. They do not have differences as far as quarreling. They do not have problems in communicating with each other, despite the fact There were a lot of stages and intervals of time that passed between each one of them. If they sit together, you will notice one truth, one eternal truth, that they all are sincere to Allah, truthful in their behavior, sincere in their da'wah to Allah, excellent examples to follow. And this is the actualization of al-ayah, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلُ الْخَيْرَاتِ. We have revealed to them to do the good deeds, and they have done it better than anybody, faster than anybody, in the best and the most eloquent way anybody can imagine. Take example, a glimpse of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Rasulullah used to take care of himself. He's a prophet. He is the representative of godly values on earth. And it won't look good for this wonderful person to walk to a masjid and he is not clean. Or wal-ayyadu billah, he smells bad. Or he's not taking care of the clothes that he's wearing. No, Ar-Rasul was the best among all of us in that regard. I'm giving you a simple example. When you want to adapt Islam as a way of life, you cannot box Islam in your thoughts only and in your behavior. If you don't say, I am a Muslim, people would have a hard time to define you who you are. There are certain people that their behavior define their religion. They say, this is a good mu'min. Why? He doesn't lie. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't believe that the ends justify the means. He's one color, one character, inside out. No two tongues, no two faces, no ulterior motives. Why? Because the heart is clean and pure. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. We want me and you to train our character and our hearts to develop the pure heart that is totally salim. And if we don't have that quality, we are not going to make it tomorrow. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he used to spend money and perfume and good smell more than what he used to spend on his clothes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi believed in an-nadhafa, cleanliness, at-tahara, purity. If you would have gone to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and if you would have gone outside of his house, around his house, you don't see the difference. Outside is clean, and inside is clean. The bed is clean, the floor is clean, the skin is clean, the face is clean. Inside out, he's a clean character. If you study and observe the life of Al-Imam Al-Hasan Salamullahi Alayhi, in the way he used to deal with the people that were around him, monumental pressure. And Muawiyah, you know, like in every stage of history, those people who are in power, they use the media in order to propagate their cause. So he hired Many historians and many people who write al-ahadith, and he start inventing al-ahadith against Ahlul Bayt. And if you read the books, it is very clear. It says one particular quote, end quote, sahab. Muawiyah came to him and he said, is this hadith is true? Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyum babaha. Is it true that Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am the city of knowledge and Ali is the door to that city? He says, yes. He says, can you invent a hadith that is parallel to this hadith that would give shining, polishing features to some other companions who were against him? He says, astaghfirullah, I can't do that. He says, with 20,000 dinar would do? Astaghfirullah, I can't do that. He said, 40,000 dinar would do? Astaghfirullah, I can't do that. 200,000 dinar would do? Alhamdulillah, ala nahma, it can be done. So they spread these lies about Ahlul Bayt. And this guy from Syria coming to visit Mecca in order to do Al-Hajj Al-Umrah. You know Al-Umrah is voluntarily act recommended for us to do. It's a ritual where I urge you and I urge myself to do it. He comes to Al-Madinah, right at the outskirts of Al-Madinah, standing Al-Imam Al-Hasan with his group. And when he saw Al-Imam, he was immediately impressed by the way he looked. Well-dressed, well-posed. And he says to one of the Bedouins, he says, who is that man? He says, this is Al-Imam Al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, this is Al-Hasan? He says, yeah. He come to him with the sword. He says, you are the enemy of Allah. May Allah do this to you, and may Allah do this to you, and you are this, and you are that. He was telling him and accusing him of things according to what he heard in Ash-Sham, in Syria. It was run by Muawiyah. And according to the people who were in Ash-Sham, Muawiyah is a great believer. He is the uncle of the believers. He's the one who wrote the revelation. He is the one who represents God on earth. That's what the Syrians believe. They have never met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have never seen him. They have never met Al-Imam Ali. They have never met any of Ahlul Bayt. They were programmed, all these lies, according to what he programmed. He came and he says, you are the one who bringing division to this ummah. You are this, you are that. Companions of Al-Imam Al-Hasan took the sword and went to hit him and kill him. And an imam ordered them not to. And he says, how did he respond? He says, Ya Akh al-Arab, you are a brother to me. It seems to me you took a long trip. If you are tired, we will host you. And if you are hungry, we will give you the water. And if you are hungry, we will feed you. And if you are thirsty, we will give you the water. And you, if you have no place to stay, you will be my guest for 3 days. The man was shocked. Look the style that he used. Look at the response from Al-Imam Al-Hasan. And he was Al-Imam Al-Hasan, supposedly Al-Khalifa of the Muslimin. The man was ashamed, the man shocked, the man didn't know what to do, and he says, okay, total silence. He told Al-Imam Al-Hasan, the person who took the sword to attack him, he says, you take care of him. The man has no quarrel with any of you, he has a quarrel with me. In Arabia, if someone offered to host you at that time, it would be a big aib not to accept. So the man went and he stayed with Al-Imam Al-Hasan. And one of the knights that he stayed with, Al-Imam called him, and he was impressed by the respect and the love and the care that the followers of Al-Imam Hassan was giving him to Al-Imam. And he was impressed by his knowledge. And he was impressed by his conduct with his servants. This man did not recognize that some of the people who were sitting there as a student of Al-Imam Al-Hassan were, some of them are his servants. And Al-Imam Al-Hassan looked at the man and said to him, "Do you read Al-Quran?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Have you read Al-Ayah that says, 'Qul la as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fil qurba'?" Did you reach this ayah that says, "Ya Muhammad," Allah is saying to Muhammad, "Ya Muhammad, tell them when I guide you to Islam, when I guide you to Al-Iman, I don't want any reward and I don't want any return from you except one thing, to love Ahlul Bayt." Do you know who are Ahlul Bayt? He says, "Yes, is Muawiyah and Abu Sufyan and Hind and what so have you." Then Al-Iman explained to him plainly, because the guy is misinformed. And the man was shocked. And he says, "Do you know who Al-Ayah talked about when it says, 'Innama waliyukum Allah wa rasuluhu alladhina amanu alladhina yukuna zakata wa raki'un?' Your leaders is Allah and Rasul and the believers who perform a zakat while they are prostrating. Do you know the subject of this ayah?" He says, "No." He says, "That is my father, Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Do you know this ayah? Do you know this ayah? Do you know this concept? Do you know the hadith?" What, the man was turned upside down. And the third day after he finished his rituals and he's leaving, he was crying. An act of love to Al-Imam, we cry. We are not a masochist people. We don't like to subject ourselves to any pain. No, it is the love that we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And for Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhi, him manifests itself in the tears that comes out of our eyes. And in that regard, we are an ummah of what? Of middle situation. We should not exaggerate. You should not shed your blood in any occasion unless for the sake of Allah and for the sake of this deen. And I urge you, on that particular day of Ashura, if you insist to let your blood come out, I urge this organization to follow a sunnah that was established maybe across the nation. One day it will be across the nation. Make an arrangement with some hospitals, talk to some doctors, and ask them on the 10th of Ashura to bring some nurses here and donate your blood to the children and to the children hospitals. In the name of the love of Al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So your blood is not going to go wasted. On Ashura, if you want to commemorate Ashura, establish an excellent brotherhood with someone that you have differences with. Make the love of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam effective to the point that it will clean and erode the hatred in your heart towards any movement in the center of the sun. And same thing for the sisters. Sisters are very sensitive creatures. They have high expectations. They have high expectations of their husbands. And most of the time their husbands disappoint them. They have high expectations of their neighbors. And they sometimes get disappointed. They have high expectations of their kids. And their kids does not respond to their expectation. Make the day of Ashura an occasion to cleanse any hatred towards any mu'min or mu'mina. It does not make sense that you love Al-Imam Al-Hussein and you hate the people who loves him. And it doesn't make sense that you come to do, you perform your salah, and in your heart there is animosity towards another sister. Your salah will not be accepted.
Subhanallah.
I am not saying that. Your salah will not go. It will stay. It will stay in the horizon, looking for an exit. Once you cleanse your heart and you come to your sister and you say, look, I miss you, forgive me. You forgive each other. You give each other a hug. You make each other happy. For Allah's sake, the salah will go. If you don't do that, it's not going to go. If you befriend a brother, you know, in our school of thought, we established brotherhood and sisterhood in Yawmul Ghadir, right? You know, we have a sunnah. Yawmul Ghadir, it is recommended that we think of a particular mu'min or a mu'mina, good mu'min, good mu'mina, and we establish brotherhood and sisterhood. And according to Al-Hadith, these two, when they have this establishment, Yawmul Qiyamah, they will not go to Al-Jannah unless they go together. And if one of them go before the other, he will wait for him at the gate to make sure that he will come with him. This kind of bond that Islam established, this kind of brotherhood and sisterhood that Islam established, we cannot afford to break it in a dunya for silly reasons, for ego, for the character, for the arrogance. No. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ what? إِخْوَة The believers are brothers to each other. The female believers are sisters to each other. The female and the male believers are brothers and sisters to each other. We are all responsible for the affairs of each other. Inna what? Al-mu'minun, they are awliya who? Awliya, other mu'mineen. Wal-mu'minat, awliya, other what? Mu'minat. They are responsible for each other. I am responsible for you, and you are responsible for me. And when I establish a brotherhood with you, and when you establish a sisterhood between you and your sister, if 3 days passes by and you don't call her or she doesn't call you, your salat will not be accepted. This is the kind of society Allah wants to build. This is the kind of religious community Allah wants to see. No. You know what bugs me and really don't understand? Some of those brothers and sisters, man, when they deal with the non-Muslims, they are extremely nice. They call them, they send them gifts, they smile, 2 miles wide smile in their face. And when it comes to dealing with the sister or the brother, they go like this. Who are you? Have I known you before? What do you want? It's on the contrary. Ruhama'un, what? I know. Allah said, Rahma, you should have compassion and mercy among each other. You should love each other. You should exchange gifts. You don't take things for granted. You don't have to remember the wedding anniversary in order to bring your wife a gift. Send her a gift for God's sake without an occasion.
Subhanallah.
Because you should be happy that you were born regardless of the date.
Subhanallah.
And you should appreciate that Allah sent you a wife who is a good believer. And you should appreciate the fact that Allah gave you the opportunity to marry a good believer. Because al-mu'min is a scarce commodity. Scarce commodity. Rare commodity. Al-mu'mina is rarer. And the dignity of al-mu'min and al-mu'mina is greater than the dignity of al-Ka'bah itself. I'm not saying that. إِنَّ حُرْمَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْمُؤْمِنَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ The hurma of al-karama of the mu'min. And al-karama of the mu'mina is equivalent to 70 times the hurma of al-ka'bah. Why?